Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 1, we were talking about how great our rewards would be in heaven. God did creation in 6 days, and He called that good. Yet He's been working on our rewards for over 2,000 years. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
There are blessings that we receive in this life for being obedient unto the Lord. But we also need to understand that one day we're going to leave all the earthly blessings behind. We need to have the attitude of Jesus, who on the cross, despising the shame, endured it for the joy that was set before him. He looked down into eternity. He told us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12, that to rejoice, be exceeding glad when you are reproached for the name of Christ, and when they say all matter of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice, happy are ye, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, folks, I think of the Lord creating in the week of creation, and when each day, at the end of the day, it would say, and he saw that it was good. He saw that it was good, and God called it good. But when God calls something great, and he made a beautiful, great, expansive universe and just called it good. Oh, man, I think of what he calls great. And it tells me, be obedient. Be obedient unto the word of God, regardless of what men think or say about you. Now, I also think it's interesting that we note here, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, you just said here in Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So basically, we see bookends here in the book of Revelation in 1:3 and 22:18 and 19. And they're matching. The bookend in chapter 1, verse 3 is a promise. The bookend in 22:18 and 19 is a warning. And my friend, the promise is blessed. Don't come under the mistakes against which we are warned. The time is at hand is the sense that the time is near. And that leads us into the next section, our incomparable inheritance. And that would be, my friend, verses 4 through 6, as we look at the incomparable inheritance. Now, Christ, in this last book of the Bible, addresses 7 local churches. Why? Because he is the founder of the local church. The local church is founded by the Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 4 it says, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. Grace was a Gentile greeting in that day, whereas the word peace was a Jewish greeting. So he says, grace and peace, because the gospel is for all men. And Jesus Christ, it would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's interesting that even today, all over Israel, they use the word shalom. And although Israel today is not a New Testament Christian nation, and those Jews need to be saved, we do see that by saying grace and peace, we see the all-inclusiveness of the gospel, and we see that it's still God wants Israel to be saved. Now notice the threefold description of Christ. Is, was, and is to come. We're reminded of Psalms 90 in verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I love that verse. It tells us of the eternality of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is forever. He is from eternity past. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, at the beginning, when everything started, Jesus was. He was already existing, because he had always existed throughout eternity past. Most of us don't have a problem understanding when we say eternity. We think of never ending, just going on and on and on and on. That's not hard for us to understand. But what is hard for us to understand is eternity past. There was never a beginning for God. The only beginnings was for man and the material universe. But Jesus Christ always was. And that's why, another reason why, should we say, he is God. He is from eternity past as well as to eternity future. There is no other one to match this description. Grace and peace come from him. Now, we also see mentioned here in verse 4, the seven spirits which are before the throne. They aren't defined for us. I, however, believe we see a correlation with Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now we see here seven things mentioned about the Spirit of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 11. Seven things. First of all, we find here that there is the Spirit of wisdom, knowledge of right and wrong with just judgment as to action, the Spirit of understanding or discernment. And then there's the Spirit of counsel, the counsel of God's Word and its direction, the Spirit of might, power, the Spirit of knowledge. And then there's that Spirit of the fear of the Lord. We know that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and he cannot look upon evil. And then there's that Spirit of righteousness. And so we know that this then is talking about the Holy Spirit of God, and that the fullness of that being upon the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the important thing to see is that this message is from God in verse 1, and it's coming to us through Jesus in verse 5, and along with the spirits before the throne, or the Holy Spirit. So this is hinting at us very loudly that the Trinity is working in full manifestation to give us this revelation, this final book of Revelation, this revelation for us to see in the final book of the Bible. Now, notice the incomparable Christ here in verse 5. He says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Yes, my friend, this is our Lord, and this is our Savior. He is the faithful witness. It is He who came preaching the kingdom of God and repentance. Isn't it interesting today that you have a lot of people say, well, repentance is not for unsaved people, it's only for saved people. And so it's like saying Jesus didn't come to save that which was lost, He comes just to get the saved to repent. Well, doesn't that sound foolish just to hear it that way? But, you know, Satan is so subtle and so crafty, and he's able to fool even some what we call good men who are sincere, that he can deceive them into looking at repentance as a work. And really what they're thinking about is doing penance. Well, no, you don't do penance to get saved. Repentance is a change of the heart and mind. It's a turning from sin to Christ. It's an instantaneous thing. And so often, just spiritual blindness on this point sets in. Now, he is legally, ethically, and accurately faithful in every sense. That means there is no error in his witness. There is no deception in the witness of Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness and the continuing witness. In Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." This shows that He even leaves us a witness in nature. In trying to build His kingdom, the important thing to see is that He's trying to build His kingdom in you. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, we read this, "And when He," speaking of Jesus, "when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo, here, or Lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Now, that speaks of His salvation. That's not speaking of the millennium, by the way. But the kingdom within speaks of His lordship within. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.